Hi everyone, welcome to season one of the Art House podcast by Artesian. We're going to be talking to really smart people about their big ideas to change the world.
AI will be the primary force that dissolves international boundaries and borders.
Our dream is to create a process that is so efficient that anybody in the planet without any PhD can run it.
We're on a mission to make solar PV low cost, fast and easier.
Quite often we fell into the trap of innovation departments wanting to engage with us because they wanted to trial AI.
I'm Ali Clunies-Ross on lead guitar.
And I'm Tim Heasley on backing vocals.
Let's get started.
Today we're fortunate enough to be talking to Del Alfonso, founder and CEO of Harmony Nutrition. Just to set the scene, one in six babies experience adverse reactions from traditional cow's milk-based baby formulas. Yet 95% of all baby formula on the market is made from cow's milk. Alternative soy protein formulas and hypoallergenic formulas are not highly recommended by pediatric clinicians, or they're too expensive for most families. There are a number of significant environmental and ethical concerns associated with the dairy industry, as we have covered on another podcast recently. Harmony Baby Nutrition uses precision fermentation to produce human breast milk proteins and develop dairy-free, allergy-free, and environmentally friendly baby formula. Del, welcome to the Art House podcast.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me today. It's a great pleasure. Yeah.
Great. Well, Del, where are you joining us from in the world?
Well, from Boston. Yeah.
In Boston. It's getting cold?
Oh, tell me. Really cold. I'm originally from Brazil, so, you know, the Boston weather is like a big struggle for me still.
Yeah, I'm Sydney-based. Tim's in Melbourne. But yeah, no, when I've spent some winters in Boston and New York, it's hard for us to fathom because we're very much used to tropical weather in Australia. But yeah, look, we're going to go through a number of different things today. But I wanted to start off with a little bit about your background and, you know, why you started this business. I know you had a bit of a personal connection to the problem. But yeah, if you can give us a little bit of insight into your background and how you started Harmony.
Sure, absolutely. So I pretty much started my career as a researcher in the food space, right? So back in Brazil, like 15 years ago. So in total, it was like this 15 years doing baby nutrition from ground to market, from lab to market, literally. But yes, I did start as a researcher, working with proteins, hydrolysates, carbohydrates, fats, all the ingredients, right? And, you know, publishing papers, creating patents, the very classic pathway for the researcher. And then we did this process of saying, listen, you know, let's check if we can go further, meaning beyond patents, beyond, you know, papers, and really get these things out of the market and have, you know, real babies and families using these products we have. So we incorporate, create a company, and we transfer over these technologies from the university to the company. And then after that, all these steps, like from lab to market with baby nutrition, like doing lab scale testing, to scale it up, raising grants for the government, raising money for investors, you know, running clinical trials, regulatory, go to market, all this journey that took about like 12 years in total to get the first babies consuming formula. So that's some sort of like the background we have on this. Thousands of babies that we treat is something that's really amazing, even though it's a very peculiar and very complicated kind of business sometimes. Baby nutrition, there is some sort of like very unique characteristics, I would say.
Del, you're not the first Brazilian founder from the Boston region that we've interviewed on this podcast. We recently had Luciano from Galley. And he's in Amherst, which I think is not terribly far away from where you are.
Yeah, not at all. Actually, I know him. Yeah, it's, you know, this world is not that big at all, especially, you know, for Brazilian folks doing, you know, like scientific-based stuff. But we help each other quite strongly as much as we have a chance to do. And yeah, he's doing just great. I really love the concept. We have some sort of like similar approach for different applications. But, you know, the platform, we do have some sort of like overlapping in the area we are. Yeah, it's good to hear that. They're doing great, right?
Yeah. No, it was a great interview too. Del, I gave listeners a bit of background to the problem you're solving, but could you tell us about the state of the baby nutrition industry and more about Harmony's products and why they're so revolutionary and disruptive?
Yes, I can try to walk you through this. And let me frame this in a different way, Tim. So baby nutrition, it's a very unique business, I can tell you. But we're doing this for like over 115 years, producing formulas using exactly the same kind of technology. So a baby formula is pretty much a cow's milk. So we get cow's milk, we add vitamins, minerals, you blended it all. That's a baby formula. And so if you picture that, in the end of the day, we're giving cow's milk for human babies. That's what we're doing. And cow's milk, it's quite different than breast milk. Cow's milk, if you just stop and think about it, cow's milk is naturally designed for cow's babies, not for humans. That's for real. So the composition is quite different. So that's like historically, yes, that was good for a long time. If you don't have an option, if you can't breastfeed, because breastfeeding is definitely like the gold standard. So, and then you can use cow's milk for that. But at this point, we don't longer need to do it. We have technology to do something way better that's way more close to breast milk. That's like set the stage for harmony. And that's like the big problem when I got here in the Boston area we were facing. And that kind of, you know, gave us a chance to think in a different way to produce baby formulas without using cow's milk as the major ingredient.
And I guess historically, cow's milk has been used because it's accessible and it's easy to do this at scale, whereas, you know, capturing the proteins of human breast milk, we didn't have the technologies to do such a thing 50 years ago or even 20 years ago.
No, absolutely. Yes, that worked, right? So many babies, many families, maybe one of those that in here was like pretty much cow's milk based, you know, fed like for a long time, and that works. But watch this. So since the population's kind of, you know, moving forward and we kind of, you know, turning in ourselves more like an industrial side of things. And then now one of the advisors we have from Harvard, this doctor from Harvard, Dr. Victoria Martin from Harvard, published a paper showing that up to 17% of the babies on formula will have any sort of allergic reaction. And that's like a lot. It's like almost 22 million of formula allergic babies per year. And the explanation is quite clear, right? Once again, the composition of breast milk is different from cow's milk. And actually, on cow's milk, you get three major allergenic proteins that you do not find in breast milk. And that's why these proteins trigger this reaction. So for, you know, a very important amount of babies, they just can't tolerate. They just can't, you know, have like any sort of dairy or maybe cow's milk-based products. That's a big thing. That's a big problem.
So just going, I guess, into what you guys are doing, can you just give us a rundown? You know, we've talked a little bit about your background. You've obviously been very passionate and researching this space for a really long time. We talked a little bit about the state of baby formula, and Tim in his intro talked about, you know, some of the soy protein formulas as well, we're trying to solve, and the hyperallergenic formulas that are also trying to solve that particular issue. You know, what are you guys doing and why has this been a challenge today? What are you doing? You're taking human protein and you're creating a baby formula based on human protein. Can you give us a little bit of background on the technology and what Harmony's mission is?
Yeah, let me connect this with a little bit of like, you know, history of the things we're doing. So pretty much I got here in the Boston area for this MBA at MIT, right? So I pretty much learn how doing things like, you know, operating in this business. Like I started as a researcher and then I moved myself to this. And then I got in here for this MBA and I said, you know what, that's a really nice place to kind of, you know, dive in different technologies and biotechnology and all this stuff. And I was literally doing an internship in a biotech company here in Cambridge. And then I was getting in touch with the CEO and she was super cool. And I told her my background and I just, you know, told this assumption, say, listen, is there any way that you can, instead of using cow's milk and replace that for, you know, human proteins, human components, like the real ones, using this technology you guys have in here to produce drugs? And she goes like, Dell, you know, I know someone that can really clear this assumption for you. That's a massive guy. That's our CSO now, Neil. And, you know, talk to him. He's the one that's going to clear this. And so she hooked me up and I got in this call with Neil. And my question for him was something like this. I told him, I said, listen, Neil, you know, baby nutrition is my thing, right? I've been doing this for quite a long time. Trials, babies, you know, all these things for 15 years. Let me ask you this. Do you think we can really produce the core components of breast milk using this drug technology you guys have in here? at scale, and I'm talking about like a massive scale, not tiny amounts for drugs, should be like a lot in a very cost-efficient way. Do you think that it's possible? So if you believe that it's possible, we can have like a game-changing kind of business. Because I know how to assemble those things in formulas, run trials, go through the regulatory. That would be like a big, big thing. Guess what? We wrote this initial project. We got some sort of like grants and awards out of MIT. Last year, we got the first investors, Artesia and Brink, that wrote us the first check. And here we are. Honestly, super excited about the progress we're making. It's like amazing. It's really, it really is.
Del, we were interviewing Turtle Tree Labs in an earlier podcast, and the expression lactoferrin came up a number of times. Is that a component of milk that is part of your kind of product suite, if that's the right term?
Yes. Lactoferrin, it's a very strategic protein of breast milk. It's not the top one in the line. We do have like a pipeline of proteins. You know, breast milk is a very complex product, right? It really is. It's like tons of proteins, carbohydrates, fats, and all this stuff. Yes, lactoferrin is one that we have in the pipeline, but it's not the top one. The major reason is that it is not the most important protein in the nutritional side of things. So if we draw like a parallel on breast milk and cow's milk, the protein composition is very different. So we're starting with the major proteins on breast milk. And lactoferrin, even though it's a strategic one, is not one of the major proteins. That's why it's not like on top of the list for Harmony. And we are very much on the nutritional side of things.
Understood. Thank you. And so I guess having referred to Turtle Tree, who's competing with you out in this market to produce a more natural formula for babies?
I really like this question. And once again, let me get to a different angle for this. So if you see now how many companies we have like doing cell-based meat, doing like replicating fish, it's countless. Like tons of companies using plant-based technology, fermentation, cell-based, like so many. But if you take that and check, how many serious companies you have breaking into the baby nutrition space? It can fit in a hand. Maybe 5 companies in total at most. And that's like almost like $100 billion market. So, but why? Because it's really hard. Baby nutrition, it's not easy at all. It's not at all. That's not a romantic version of this. The regulatory is really complicated. We're talking about clinical trials and more. We're talking about someone else's babies. It's like, that's our precious. It really is. So breaking into this space is something that I used to say that it's not like for casual entrepreneurs. So these people that are trying to do this, they're working really hard. So I do have a lot of respect for Turtle Tree and all those folks that, you know, BioMilk, you know, Helena and everyone, because it's really hard. And actually, we get in touch with them. Now, I personally am very, you know, down to, you know, tailor whatever kind of partnership we should do on this, because it's a different game. You know, baby nutrition is a totally different game.
And Del, you touched on the regulatory environment. When you're typically taking a product like this to market, as you mentioned, you have to do certain trials, but it's difficult when it's a newborn baby. You know, what are those regulatory challenges? Does the regulation differ in different markets, or is it relatively standard?
Right. So the regulatory question, it's like a very important one, at least from Harmony's standpoint, right? The name of the game is regulatory. That's the way we see it. You know, the technology we have in here, to be honest with you, is not really that new, right? Most of the folks, this comes from pharmaceuticals, like from 30 years ago. That's mature. That's like a really kind of old and saved kind of technology. But that's for the drug space. In the food space, though, it's new. So we don't use to kind of get these technologies to produce food. So the regulatory, it's sometimes something like in the gray area, right? Especially for Harmony, because we are not producing like regular food. We are not also producing drugs. It's something in between, right, for babies. So the regulatory, it's like a big question mark, a big gray area. What are we doing, actually? It's like using some sort of our personal experience and professional experience in doing this for quite a long, dealing with regulatory agencies and understanding what they're looking for. So that's something that we bring to the table. Another thing, interacting with like FDA from time zero. to understand their concerns and how we can really address the science. Actually, all the tools and all the scientific stuff we're doing is not only to get proteins and things, but really to address the regulatory concerns we have for now to like to the end of the game. And also, you know, it's pretty much having this as like the top priority for the company. Even when we pick and choose proteins on breast milk that we want to produce, those proteins should be some sort of like regulatory friendly. If you can't get through the regulatory, you basically have nothing to do. You just basically got stuck and you stop. So regulatory, at least on our understanding, is like a very important piece of that.
Yeah, and I guess it is important as you're developing the product to make sure that you're considering this, because you don't want to get to the end and then FDA says, well, no way, you can't get this product to market and you have to start all over again.
Oh, so, man. Yeah, even that happens, my first investor are going to be very, very upset. So, yeah, I got to make a way through.
And look, you touched on like the small number of competitors in this space, and there are a number of sort of big incumbents that make up the baby formula market. Are any of the incumbents looking to innovate? Have you seen any sort of push and shift as the market starts changing? And I do want to talk about the consumers, and maybe we'll talk about that shortly, but have you seen any incumbents trying to disrupt this space, or they're really just focused on what they know?
You mean like the big folks, right?
All the big folks.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're trying to track this very closely. And I was not expecting that. So we got in calls with all of those big guys since like 2 weeks ago. We were in another call with one of those big guys as well. It's still in the very early stage to be engaging with a big company. But there is like some sort of like changing on the paradigm, I'd say. Once again, they know this. They know that's possible. But there is the whole marketing piece they have. Their brands is like a very precious kind of thing, but they move in the direction. If they're not doing this like with their own power, they probably are kind of, you know, looking at all those folks that's moving in this direction to incorporate these things as part of their portfolios. That's really true. They know that's going to happen. Could be with their own development or maybe just, you know, incorporating whatever, you know, technology and things that are in the market. But this thing is going to happen. It's crystal clear for everyone.
Yeah. And I guess that's what you see happen when, you know, these corporates have big brands and it's extremely risky for them to do it themselves. They look to acquire and consolidate all the small players.
To be honest with you, that was my first like question. I said, listen, why do you guys never did that? And actually, every single one that we got in the table that we came across, we did ask the same question. So why you guys never did this before? And actually, we do have one of the mentors and like advisors from Harmony is the former director of innovation and baby nutrition from Mead Johnson, one of the big folks around the world. And I did ask the same question from him. And he goes like, Dell, the problem is the risk. You know, our brand's like is a big thing. So take this kind of risk. It's complicated for a big company like us. When he did say that, I said, listen, you know what? That's great because, you know, for a small startup company, that's like a big opportunity. So, you know, if you don't want to take the risks, that's part of what the things we're doing here. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, corporates are particularly poor at disrupting themselves.
Yeah.
You know, disruption sits much more happily in a startup. Yeah. Dell, I wanted to ask, you know, just about your personal journey. This isn't your first venture. How do we come to be sitting on opposite sides of a microphone at the moment?
Honestly, I feel so uncomfortable doing that. I'm way more like the operation part of that than really, you know, getting myself across a mic and things. You know, I feel that nobody understands what I'm saying, my funny accent and all this stuff. So I'm way more in the operation than really, you know, giving a talk or maybe in a podcast or something like this. But I can tell you, it's like having a journey. And more than this, Tim, I don't know if you know this, but two things basically was the biggest drivers for myself to keep working with creating things on baby nutrition. The first one is the story I told you, getting to Boston, right? Came across like this big, massive opportunity to produce no human breast milk components and all this stuff, you know, getting in touch with Neil. That's part of the story. But I do have like a very personal component on that. And that's interesting because I got in the Boston area and then my wife got pregnant again. That was our second baby. The baby was born in here over the winter time. And in the first baby, actually, my wife breastfed for like 18 months and was like really nice experience, even though it's hard in the woman's side, not really that simple. But in the, anyway, it was really good. But in the second baby, she was struggling to really, you know, breastfeed. And it was like a very hard time in the family. Like she went through this whole postpartum depression and, you know, living alone on the winter time without family. It was really hard on us. And guess what? So she was not producing milk enough. The baby was not thriving. And then the doctor came and said, listen, yes, we're going to start with formulas. And they started with formulas. The baby was not thriving and even given worse. And the pediatrician came to me and says, Del, let me tell you something. You got in a cow's milk allergic baby, and now we're going to talk about formulas, hyperallergenic formulas. And I go, wow, you got to be kidding me, right? Because I can't believe in this. So we went through this journey, not only like in the professional, but also in the personal side. And I can tell you, that's a nightmare. Even in the personal side, I'll tell you, I guess it's even worse. Because facing with this kind of roller coaster of emotions in the daily base with a baby at home, man, that's really tough. That really is.
And I guess, you know, this comes down to a number of women having this particular problem. You know, they want to breastfeed, or some women don't want to breastfeed. You know, it doesn't work for their career or their lifestyle. I mean, what is the consumer sentiment out there? Are there certain markets where baby formula is, there's a higher uptake of baby formula? And are you going to look to target those markets? Is it a growing market? Are more women looking to feed using formula? Can you set the scene a little bit on the consumer landscape?
Sure. So, well, so I can get you more like the U.S. market, you know, because that's the major priority for us. But in general, it's quite similar because pretty much 90% of the babies will be ended up in formula by the age of 6 months. And that's like a lot. So almost like 90% of the babies will have baby formula since they're born. And with this in mind, we also have a big, big misconnection between what the new parents are looking for and what we have in the market. That's really true. So parents now, they engage. They know what they're doing. They're reading labels. They're challenging all the stuff they have. And that is booming. You know, we started with cosmic formulas and then we started like the organic formulas. And now parents are looking way more in all the details about ingredients. They down for it. They kind of looking for better options. That's really true. And that drives a huge demand. And also, picture this. On the baby formula space, you usually have like, your willingness to pay is really high, usually, right? You go above and beyond for a baby, so your willingness to pay usually is really high. And also, the brand stickiness, it's also very strong. So as soon as you find something for a baby, you stick with that thing. You don't want to change. If you got like a cow's milk allergic baby or whatever, you know, food allergies, that even worse. If you find something that's just like solving a problem, man, you go whatever you need and you pay whatever price you want to really get the things that really work and that put your back in the sweet spot. So in general, there's like a growing market as a big trend, strong willingness to pay, strong brand stickiness. That's like some sort of characteristics of this kind of business. But even though it's not easy, that I always used to say this, and let me make my point across in a very clear manner. And please, please don't get me wrong, right? I used to say that, you know, baby nutrition is not like putting together a plant-based burger or whatever thing and say, listen, try this. We don't try things on babies. We just don't. The mindset is totally different.
Makes a lot of sense, Del. A tricky market to operate in. Just wanted to ask you about, we met you through the Brink Accelerator program, and I believe you've also participated in the Indie Bio program or had some association. We know the SOSV guys well. Could you talk a little about your experiences with both Brink and Indie Bio?
Sure, yeah. I can tell that there's way more like in the business and like in an entrepreneur side of things. And in a full disclosure team, I was like, you know, I don't want to apply for any accelerator programs anymore. I've been through this so many times in my life, you know, doing market research, prototyping. Come on, I just left the business school. Like, once again, those things. But to be honest, I was very wrong. And I'm happy to tell you this. So we did Brink, and right away we went through Indie Bio. On both, we got so much out of these programs. Maybe not, as I'm saying, like doing market research, but, you know, connections. You know, people that can really leverage the things we're doing, understand the language we have, because we're talking about, you know, very deep science in the food space. Food people don't really get there. So that was pretty much like on brink. When we got on IndieBio, they got an extra level on this because their people, like their, even the partners, directors of the program, they are very tech savvy. So they actually, they know quite well that, and they very deep on the science. And so how do you move from the point A to the point B? With the IndieBio folks, they just massive. And they also have a very nice network of investors that knows biotechnology, food tech. So many of this kind of big companies are doing great now are using similar kind of technology, went through IndieBio in the same fashion. So we took a lot out of this. It was like a really nice experience. Every time that I got in an entrepreneur, someone that's kind of, you know, doing something in the same space, they ask me, say, what you think, you know, this kind of accelerator program. Say, man, for me, that was like a really nice experience. And I like to say that. We have a very nice relationship still. So Brink with two guys with IndieBio, be always close, like, you know, discussing data, discussing what are we doing, discussing like fundraising strategy. That's like a very important piece of those things. You know, it's like pretty much a very kind of capital intensive businesses. So yeah, really great experience, Tim. I'll do that again if I have a chance.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for that great answer. And I guess flowing from that, any advice to other founders that may find themselves in a similar position?
Yeah. Well, I think that market is getting hot, but it's good, right? It really is. I'm so like surprised by this. And I don't know. We got so many like reports from BCG, McKinsey, and showing how the food system is changing and how the food industry is changing. And how this, you know, new technologies can really make a big, big thing. So for someone that's coming to this space is really try to make progress in the science as quick as they can. Because the market's there, the business is there. But the science piece is sometimes complicated because, you know, microbes don't operate in the way that you want it because just, you know, you're pushing those microbes to work. So cracking the science, it takes time. It's possible, but it takes time. So if a new friend, an entrepreneur want to break into the space, I would say, you know, get yourself around people that's really good on science. People that you say, man, that's like state of art kind of class A people. That's pretty much something that have been working very well for Harmony, you know, and giving me some sort of like strong confidence that the science is getting on track and the way that we do. We also have this experience on the space, right? So operating the business is something that we feel way more comfortable. So getting top class A people besides you and working hard on the science to get traction, that could be something, you know, that's quite important for an early stage entrepreneur.
And Del, I mean, you talked a little bit there about the shift in food systems. Can your technology in future potentially be applied to other areas, you know, in terms of the protein extraction? Or is your core focus going to be on baby formula over the next sort of indefinite period?
Yeah, for Harmony, I can tell you, everything that's we call like early life nutrition, that's for Harmony, right? Not only just babies, toddlers, whatever technology, whatever way to produce safe and, you know, top quality food, that's for Harmony. We choose work with precision fermentation, or maybe originally it's called recombinant protein technology. People now call this protein farming, many ways to say the same thing, because that's a very mature technology, very safe technology. And for babies, that's extremely important. The kind of the Google market curve, we could be short if we're using a technology that's already validated. So that's pretty much the mindset that we want in. With this technology, we can get a lot of traction. We can actually, you know, change the game in the baby nutrition. So it's some sort of like for Harmony, why we choose, you know, working with recombinant proteins first. But once again, we do have like in the long run, big projects, you know, using different kind of technology to support the early life nutrition proposition. And of course, part of your question is, you know, do you see that this kind of technology can, you know, be used in different spaces? Oh, yeah, that's for sure. The first time, even here in the Boston area, that I did speak with an expert about using a recombinant proteins technology in the food space, he laughed in my face, right in front of my face, really bad. He said, you crazy? It's like $2,000 to produce a single gram of protein. How can we make food out of this? Watch that. It was like 2018 by the MIT here in Cambridge. that I heard an expert saying this. You see how things change quickly, and that's the pace, that's the area we kind of operate in at this point.
Dell, I was going to ask, you know, so you've talked about the pace as well, and you're relatively early in your journey, but where actually are you in the business? When do you, and what do you foresee over the next sort of 18 to 24 months? What are those key milestones that you'll be hitting?
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I guess, you know, Harmony and maybe most of the companies in like in the baby nutrition space is still like in the very early stage of this journey, right? And we specifically for Harmony, we just cracked the major milestone we have, you know, producing these proteins, you know, doing the pilot scale testings. So there was the journey was pretty much, you know, getting the right microbe and then, you know, having this microbe to operate and produce the protein we wanted and then figure a way to produce this protein like exactly the same protein of breast milk, like bioidentical, that's the way we call it. There is some buzz names they call like glycosylation or post-transactional modification, meaning the chemical structure of the protein should be exactly the same one. That's not easy. That's complicated. So we went through this journey and now we, you know, the last race was pretty much to kind of produce in a pilot scale. This is done. And now we move into the next phase. We do have like three major milestones now. It's pretty much improving the unit of economics, getting the regulatory approval and running clinical trials. So the next 24 months, it's literally pushing really hard on that direction.
And when do you expect to be able to sell your product in stores?
Well, yeah, it, you know,
it's a hard question. We asked this one to some of our cell-based meat companies and they're like, look, I'll tell you what I hope.
I'll tell you what I hope. It's pretty much like, once again, I don't think the major struggle for Harmony is really on the tech side, but regulatory. And regulatory for babies and ingredients for babies, it's a complicated game. So we do have one of the Harmony's advisor. It's Mark Warner. It's a massive guy, like work for Perfect, Jelter, Clara, know all these things. And he's the former CTO of Impossible. So he's the one that brought Impossible to scale and, you know, get the approved as a GRAS ingredient and FDA. So really, really senior and expert guy. And Mark told us something like this, Adele, I've been through this regulatory approval for like regular food in 6 months, 9 months sometimes. But for babies, get yourself ready for 2 years, at least 2 years. So that's what we're doing. So we can get this maybe, you know, in a short period of time, but we forecast everything we're doing to have at least like 2 years of regulatory, and then we can have the first babies consuming Harmony. That's pretty much the major idea we have. But believe me, even though for food, it sounds like a really long, you know, timeline, in the baby nutrition space, it's not really that long. You know, having like between 2 to 3 years, the first baby's consuming a new technology like that, that's like a very reasonable pace.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I guess often when we talk to biotech companies, often the, and you mentioned the unit economics and the tech scalability is the problem, but it's interesting to hear, you know, the real focus on the regulatory market. I mean, that's sort of come across the whole podcast. We've kind of touched on it a few times and the importance of being ready and making sure the product can fit in with the certain approvals that you need. Yeah, it's a really interesting challenge. And it's great to hear that you guys are so on top of it because I think some companies we see, you know, it's in the last few months when they're almost ready to get to market and commercialize. And then they realize certain things and, you know, you're just trying to focus on the business and you're really keen to sort of scale it and get it to pilot and then get it to commercial scale. And sometimes these things can be forgotten. So it's been really interesting to hear that core focus for you.
But let me tell a little caveat on this, right? It's like a top secret. You can spread that, all right? But it's pretty much this. When you're using these technologies to produce proteins, it could be fermentation, it could be cell-based technology and things, you know, how much protein you need to put together a product, it's very important. What I mean with this, so if you want to kind of produce meat, it's like 30% proteins. Like eggs is 12, fish is like 20. Breast milk, that's our gold standard, get only 1% of proteins. So what that means, this little protein go a long way. So in the end of the day, we have a way more like wealthy margins to operate on the baby nutrition space. That's also it's a very important kind of differentiation we have with Harmony. We don't need to produce a lot of proteins to really put together a top quality product. So that's very interesting on the very specific business. And coming back to the baby nutrition space as a whole, as we discussed, usually profit margins for baby nutrition, it's really large. It's like very close to drugs. If you compare that with food, it's like incomparable, actually. It's really large. But even though it's large, once again, I'm always coming back to this point. Just few people just rake on that one because it's complicated. It's large, but regulatory is hard, right? It's large. The margin is large, but also, you know, the go-to-market is quite long. There is a bunch of kind of hurdles that kind of, you know, explains why this kind of business, this kind of, you know, environment, it's pretty much like concentrated.
And so, Del, I guess, you know, we've talked about a number of different facets of the business. Can you give us a bit of an overview on who the team is? Who are the core people? We've talked about some advisors you've got and whatnot, but who is the core team and what are the skill sets that you have?
Right. That's something that I like to say because a very interesting piece of this, the way that we're attracting this top quality people. So the first one that came along was Neil Shower, our CSO, 35 years of doing, you know, recombinant protein technology for all the big biotech folks around the world. This is really like this kind of project, something that been through this so many times. When he talks about it, you feel that's simple. Even though it is not, you feel it. So, and then came along Mark Warner, the former CTO of Impossible. And then we got this doctor from Harvard, that Victoria Martin, the one that published this paper showing this big, big number of babies with allergic reactions. We got a bioprocess engineer from Spain, that's Chabi. We got a couple of people like in the regulatory side with very, very deep experience on that, like actually over 20 years doing regulatory in this space. So we pulling together a very, very strong team on the technical side of things, and I tell you. So in the business side, we do have people that I've been working together like for over 10 years doing, you know, producing formulas, putting these things together. You know, we have like, you know, some very good folks like Carter that helps on the communication side of things as well. Because we pretty much break down the business in two sides, right? The business and the technical. And this thing should talk. And so we pretty much like a science-based company. But don't get me wrong. Let me tell you this. We like to say that, you know, we're disrupting the market. We just, you know, creating new technologies, you know, game-changing. We like this kind of buzzwords. But in the end of the day, to be very transparent too, the technology piece doesn't really matter. Here we're talking about like real babies. We're talking about struggling families. That's like the name of this thing. That's like the really important piece of the things we're doing. When you have, and I tell you, like in a very personal level, if you do have a baby that got rashes all over the body, crying constantly, like days in a row without sleeping, you don't care about what kind of technology you have on that can. You just don't. So that's like, you know, we do have this kind of MIT nerd folks kind of mindset. Right. Okay. But, you know, for your final customer, they don't care about it. They just want to have the best, like just the best thing for the baby and kind of come back to our regular life. That's what we're here for. That's pretty much like what we're doing for Harmony.
Yeah. Money's no object when it comes to your little one, on the basis that you can only ever be as happy as your unhappiest child. You want to make it right.
Yeah.
Del, is there any news you can disclose on where the business is at the moment? Any fundraising or major hires or anything like that you can talk to us about?
Yes. Yes, sure. Yeah. Actually, as I just said, we closed this chapter, right? You know, finishing up the pilot test like 1 week, pretty much like a week and a half ago. So after that, we got together with the IndieBio folks and they came to check the results and they pretty much like show me the data, right? And we present the data we got and they really got very excited and pretty much told us, hey, listen, we believe that you're ready to the next round. We're going to back you up with at least like one-fourth of like pretty much 25% of the next round and things that you guys are doing. So we just like putting all the pieces together to start the next funding round. And push really hard on hiring more researchers, you know, using more technology to improve the unit economics, you know, major focus on getting the regulatory approval. That's what we're doing. So the next 2 years will be quite intensive. So we're just putting together the lead investor now, getting all the resources we need. The next funding round is like top priority for Harmony at this point.
So, Del, IP protection, I know that's a tricky world. I'm a lawyer by background, not an IP lawyer. But how do you protect, you know, all the amazing things you're creating?
You want to really get the secret source, right? That's the thing. Let me tell you in a very, very clear manner. It's like we used to say that Harmony is for every single baby. It really is, right? Every baby that needs an infant formula, for whatever reason, Harmony is here for. So that's Harmony. But the major thing we're doing is like starting with cow's milk allergic babies. That's the initial target market. We have many reasons for that. And picture this, formulas for allergic babies are very expensive, like over $40, $45 per can. A baby will be consuming like 10, 15 cans per month for 2 years, sometimes 3 years in a row. That's a lot. And more than this, I don't know if you guys checked this or maybe haven't seen someone, the baby. Have you seen the quality of the formulas for allergic babies? It smells bad, like really bad. It tastes gross, like a very bitter taste. It causes vomiting and diarrhea. And that's just like terrible. It really is. And that's something that we have like massive experience. So we started with cow's milk allergic babies because there is like a shocking burning need for that. They need something better. So, you know, cow's milk allergic babies, like the initial target market. And the IP component of this, Tim, is that we do have a composition of matter patent of an infant formula with human breast milk proteins for allergic babies, for cow's milk allergic babies. And that gives us a very strong IP position because since it's the final product is protected, even if we come up with different methods to produce proteins, the final product is still protected. And knowing this space quite well, dealing with cow's milk allergic babies on a personal professional level for 15 years, that's something that we can more easily navigate because we really understand the pain. We really understand these customers, the cycle they have, the customer journey. So, you know, tackling the cow's milk allergic babies is like a top priority for Harmony. And the IP we have is in the same fashion. So a very strong IP for the final product that gives us a very strong kind of IP protection in this space.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Del. It was great to hear your personal story and your real affiliation with the problem and the technology you've created and the regulation that you're working through. It was a great story. I learned a lot about the formula market and baby nutrition. And look, thank you and good luck with your raise. And, you know, we're looking forward to hopefully we'll have you on the podcast again in our next season and hear the progress that the business has made.
I hope so. I guess I'll try in the next time, I'll bring you guys like a real, you know, can of Harmony or maybe a bottle of human breast milk protein instead of a cow's milk that you guys can see and taste it and actually.
We'll and try it out.
Pair that with like, you know, hypoallergenic forms. You will love it.
Yeah, can't wait. I'll be addicted, I'm sure. Thanks so much, Del.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for this.